Hi, my name is Ramon D'Ocampo, and I am talking to the amazing author of Ariel, Stephen R. Boyette.
Howdy.
Stephen. Getting back to Ariel, I've heard that you wrote this when you were 19.
I did. I started it my second year of college when I was 18, and I actually quit school to write it. I was a writing major on a writing scholarship, and I had no time to write.
And you were writing? Wow.
In fact, after I quit, I had sold the book, and I was invited to come back to the school and speak. And
my writing teacher said,
I want Steve to say how he got from where you're sitting to where he's standing right now.
By leaving.
And I got up in front of the class and I said, well, I quit.
Get the hell out.
I was very fortunate. I did do it the hard way. I didn't have an agent on it. I sold it right out of the slush pile.
Wow.
Which is pretty rare.
And impossible to do. I mean,
it really was. And it sold very well. Went through 4 printings its first few months. Part of that's the unicorn, I'm sure.
It's a classic. It's an actual, kind of certified cult classic.
We started to say earlier, I'm actually delighted that you were doing this because, not me, because before we decided to go with an audiobook on it. I say we as if I had a hand in that. I had started recording Ariel myself. I thought I would just go ahead and distribute it. And, talking to me now, you can see that I have a great, voice for television. And I found it really hard to do. This is a long time ago to me.
Right.
And I don't want to disavow the book in any way, but I'm not really the person who wrote the book.
Right.
And so I found it very difficult. There was almost the kind of method acting I had to do to get into it. And I found myself very distant from, not from the book itself, but from the person who wrote it.
Right.
You can't revise it. You'll keep revising a work of art as you learn. I mean, you want to think that you'll improve as time goes on. Otherwise, to me, it's very sad to think this would be the best thing I ever wrote in a way, because that means so everything else was not as good. So I'm not disavowing it anyway. I'm actually very proud of the book, but I found it difficult to try to read it because, especially if you read Elegy Beach, the book that's coming out. 30 years later,
right.
Even though it starts off very similarly, as it evolves, you see, I don't write remotely the same, I think. And so it was kind of hard to read. It seemed so simple. I was like, how do you end your sentences so soon back then? I mean, it's really strange to me.
I do believe that authors often try to read their own books. And I don't know whether it's because they're really close to it or they're now really far from it. But most of them find that it's better to find an interpretive artist that can kind of get into what their headspace was then to read it, and then they end up more happy.
I'm glad to hear that they're mostly happy about that. I've gone to a lot of readings from writers, and writers tend not to be that great at doing their own stuff.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. They love their stuff, and, there are some that are very good at reading it.
I think that writers are not performers.
They
we sit and stare at walls. And I have.
However, you have a podcast. You have a video.
Well, and
that you perform.
I'm very comfortable in front of people. In fact, I'm actually mic conscious after 3.5 years of podcasting.
Of course,
you get me in front of a mic, and I'm still like, "How are you doing out there?" I'm very because I like to talk to a person, and I can't pretend the mic is a person. I'm not an actor in that sense.
Right.
I do think I'm a performer in that sense, but I think that in many ways writers are frustrated performers. They're not that good at. Look, if you were really great at talking to people, you wouldn't sit on your butt for a year and type until you had a 6-inch stack of words. I just think the parts of your brain that speak are not the parts of your brain that write.
Right, but I feel like the part of your brain that writes is speaking directly to the part of my brain that is listening. So it's very interesting.
Well, it works out for both.
Yeah, that although you're saying you're not speaking, maybe you're not literally outside speaking, especially your writing, which I clearly enjoy very much, goes directly into my head. And I feel, very much part of the novel and part of the character and that.
Part of that, honestly, and this is going to sound sort of, I guess, cynical, but part of that is I tend not to believe fantasy very well. I'm a very skeptical person. And so in some ways, the first person I have to convince that this is going on is myself. And so these are very grounded in reality. I tend not to go for Middle Earth kinds of places. I don't like made up places full of elfy things. I said in the afterword to Ariel, in the print edition, that I would have liked The Lord of the Rings better if the hobbits had had to stop and take a dump in the woods every now and then.
taken a dump in the woods.
Well, I'm going to assume that they did.
Right. We never know. We don't know if they have holes back there.
In a way, that's my problem. Everybody in the book knows that they're in a mythic fantasy. And I don't think that they're bad books. I think they're great books. But I need some kind of concrete detail. I guess I'm too linear a thinker. I grew up on science fiction more than on fantasy.
Oh, okay.
And I think I have a sort of science fictional approach toward fantasy. I need, it's got to be rooted in reality to me.
So movie deal?
Nothing concrete. My agent is very helpful, especially with Elegy Beach. The buzz on the book is ridiculous. I mean, literally, the copy editor was leaving notes saying, this is the best thing I've read in years, which you never. I mean, I'm enormously gratified by that. You never get that kind of thing. I don't really know. And I don't actually care.
Well, that's a little weird. I don't.
Having written, Mark Twain said that fans of Sausages and Laws should never see either being made. And I feel that way about movies. having worked in the industry some, I don't enjoy going to movies as much because now I see the meetings involved in the lines they speak.
Yeah,
I feel like I know some great secret, and it ruins it for me in a lot of ways. And the more expensive it is, the safer it's going to be. So I tend to like people's B-sides or weird little failures or strange little... My favorite movie is a movie no one ever saw, which is Toto the Hero. By Jacques van der Mal. It came out the same year Il Postino did.
Oh, okay.
Il Postino got all the attention, and Toto the Hero is just one of the best movies in the world.
Well, I'll have to watch that.
Crazy for it. Hard, impossible to find. And I tend to like strange little films like that. I'm very, you know, I'm, you know, see, now I'm just
tough,
I'm an 80, I'm oh crap, it's not like when we were kids, we had to carve it in cuneiform, you know.
I had a wedge and I chiseled away.
Oh, you try to tell kids with their word processors, now they don't believe you.